Hi, my name's John West. I'm the rector at the parish of Port Macquarie and also missional archdeacon for the southern end of the Grafton Anglican Diocese. It's in the context of mission that these talks entitled What Do You Say? Are given. They're to help people to get alongside other people and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. On the first day, as priest in charge of a parish, I had a phone call from a lady whose husband was dying from cancer. The gist of the conversation was that he was afraid and wanted someone to talk to about the assurance of heaven and eternal life. He had only a few days to live. I wonder what you would have said to him. This is not an isolated case. Last year I spoke to a lady in her 90s who, despite her doubts and atheistic upbringing, was convinced that there was something more to life. She was asking questions. There had to be a meaning somewhere. On another occasion I talked with a man who had been associated with the church for years, but when he was facing death, there was a certain fear, because he lacked the assurance of what was going to happen to him beyond the grave. He wanted to know whether he had been good enough. Now all of us at some time come across someone who is either dying or going through soul searching. The opportunity for us to speak up can arise at any time. Peter encourages Christians to be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within them in 1 Peter 3:15. I've also been blessed to teach scripture in various primary schools over a period of about 20 years. Adding it all up, that would be in excess of 1,500 children for about half an hour each week, over roughly 30 weeks or perhaps more of each year. Those students come with doubts and very often profound questions, but they mirror the same sorts of questions that adults often ask. I've recently been teaching a syllabus called Big Questions to sixth grade. It involves leaving a question box in the classroom during the week and then tackling some of those questions when I arrive for the lesson. Things like, who made God? What about the dinosaurs? How can we be sure that the Bible is true? How can God guide us? What does God look like? And if God knows the future, why did he create Adam and Eve knowing they would do the wrong thing? This is a difficult one. A very common question is, why does God allow evil things to happen? And another, is there a hell? Now, I don't have a whole half hour to answer these things, and the answers, of course, can't be too complex. I've got to be careful in the answers that I give. But a well-thought-out answer can probably be given in a minute or two. But this approach, which we call apologetics, is only a part of what I want to get across to those children. I mainly want them to know how to enter into and maintain a meaningful relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Although I have all year to do so, I want them to know how that can be done within the first few weeks, so that I can build upon that and reinforce the understanding over the year without any coercion. Now that's fine in school, but in everyday life we don't usually have the luxury of that sort of time. So I ask you again, what would you say? How much does a person need to understand to become a Christian? What information and explanation do you need to give as a minimum to a person who's seeking answers? We're recognizing more and more that people are not coming to church in the way that they used to. There are many reasons, which involve time-poor people, many distractions, the image of the church, past hurts, skepticism, competition with other media, shortened attention spans, and so on. Many people, when they do come, simply don't relate to what happens in our usual church services. You know, one time people flocked to things like the Billy Graham Crusades and were converted on the spot, or so it seemed. These days, it usually takes time for the message to get across through developing personal friendships with people. At one time, one person might win 1,000 people to Christ at a crusade. But these days, it takes 1,000 people to win one person each. I've been reading Mission on the Outside by Andrew Francis. He used to be an Anglican minister and then gave it away to run home study groups. He often hangs around a gay bar where he gets into conversations with people there, very often prays with them, and directs them towards the study groups. Now, he writes at one point in that book, "Yes, many of our churches may be full and even very exciting and motivating places to be. But disturbingly, it appears that few within our churches are willing to go and be witnesses to Jesus, proclaiming the kingdom, and offer prayer for the needs of those around about them." Now, over these five sessions, we're going to look at some steps in building up our confidence and perhaps passing on ideas to build up the confidence of other people. In that time, in the five sessions, we're going to cover, first of all, finding people who want to hear. Secondly, the gospel essentials, what the content of the gospel is. Thirdly, what do you say? When do you say it, and how do you say it? Fourthly, we look at the power of stories, witnessing. And fifthly, we'll see something about pocket apologetics, in other words, answering the difficult questions and defending it and explaining the issues about the faith.